when you are at an event and you see someone come up to you with a camera, like a hardcore looking camera, there's something in you that switches to like, I gotta post or I gotta give my best self, right? Yes. Versus when someone comes at you with like a cell phone, I mean, you also do something, but it's not like, oh, this is not gonna be a like a tabloid type thing. It's not gonna be on Getty's Images, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of the thing I'm realizing walking around with this camera more often. It's like, man, this is like an expensive looking camera. Mm-hmm. And now I really want to focus on street photography. Maybe I should like invest in a, I hate to say it, invest in a more expensive camera that looks less professional.
Yeah.
Like those Leicas. Ooh.
I don't know those Leicas.
Oh my God, bro. They're like $6,000. Is it? But they look amazing.
Is it like a good camera?
It's like a, well, it's like a
is it like a Sony?
Yes.
Is it like a Canon?
Yeah. it's like a I don't know. I'm lost for words. It's like a,
well, I'll tell you what you're carrying around is not, looks like an expensive camera. It is an expensive.
It is expensive. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, not watching, yeah.
Oh, don't shoot it at this direction. Sorry.
Also, I'm trying to change the language around photography. I picked up this wonderful book by a street photographer named Dawad Bey. I think he's Nigerian. Hey. Yeah, B-E-Y.
Hey.
Anyway, he like taught street photography. He taught photography in like the 70s or whatever, but he's still alive. He's still around. And he made photos specifically in Harlem. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was that he, before he even made one photo, he wanted to make sure that he knew the community first and that he was a familiar face in the community, because he believed that when you service the community in that way, you want to help tell their stories, you need to be a part of that story. And you can't try to profit off of whatever that struggle is, right? And so he would just be around it. And so eventually when he was kind of known and people recognized him in the street, like just as a person, right? He found that he got more intimate photography.
Of course.
And he was able to tell a deeper story.
Course.
Of the people there. Yeah. And I was like, that's beautiful. So for me, as I wander around San Jose now, oftentimes I had to like, can I make a photo with you instead of can I shoot you?
Yeah.
Or can I capture you?
That's why I like that you're having conversations with people and you're like, keep going. And you're like, you built that trust with somebody, you build that connection. And then you're like, oh yeah, I also have this camera. Like, keep talking, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, people are already like, they have their guard down.
And they're invested in sharing their story. Yeah, like that guy named Adam from Groundworks. This is an amazing story.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later that I realized like, oh, maybe I should have been recording just audio.
Yeah.
To supplement. Like if I really wanted to make something of the photos, the portraits I took of this wonderful man, oh, maybe I should have recorded audio to supplement that. If I'm thinking like content creation wise. Yeah. But yeah, you're going to say something?
No, finish, and I got you.
Okay, yeah. It became this like overly complicated thing in my mind after the fact. Like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have done this. When in fact, after I got home and I looked at the photos, I'm like, this is actually quite enough, really. And yeah, that was a big lesson for me.
And that's what I was going to say, is it goes into what we want to talk about today, which is keeping it simple. You know, there's steps to this.
There is steps to this, yeah.
For those tuning in, I'm David Morales, or Active Poet.
And I'm Tossie Alabastro, at Tossie Alabastro. And we're...
Art Time Job. This is our podcast.
It's our podcast. It's our podcast for working artists, working and aspiring artists, by us, working artists. And
today we want to talk about keeping it simple. Stupid. Or the acronym KISS.
Yeah, KISS, for those of you who are like me, a little dyslexic sometimes.
Yeah, I think, I don't even want to say it's like a Virgo element, even though a lot of people tell me it is.
Being a Virgo element?
Being a perfectionist and just trying to plan like so many things ahead, like I get ahead of myself. And it's hard for me to stay in the moment, but that's why I love theater so much.
Yeah.
And we're going to go a deep dive into our theater love in a different episode, but like forcing myself to stay present. Also, like meditation as well. But I was gonna say earlier, you were talking about not your expensive camera, you were talking about something. I had something I wanted to tell you.
Oh, shucks! I should have shut up.
No, I love listening to you, man.
That's you know what's interesting is, you know, when we start these episodes, for those of you out there, intrepid listeners, Dav and I spend some time just chatting because we're catching up and we haven't seen each other all week, or in this case, after some time, more than a week. And it's not until, you know, you look back, you're like, man, we should have been recording that whole thing. But as I'm learning in not just this arena, but like other arenas, like sometimes you need that like warm up.
Yeah.
Like when I, going back to photography, when I'm out there, like that first few 10 photos or whatever, that's warm up.
Yeah.
Because I have to, like, I'm in this environment that, you know, I'm kind of newly arrived in. There are a lot of new elements happening here. And I think it's that sense of like, okay, it's a lot going on. How do I simplify?
Mm.
And by warming up and like registering all the elements in the environment, I'm simplifying.
Yeah.
You ever do that when you go to like rehearsal? Like that's that whole
all the time. I need to warm up. Like I'm surprised you and I don't do like vocal warm ups or like some quick improv.
Oh,
like
sure.
Games before this, you know, maybe we'll have a behind the scenes that you guys can watch of like some of our favorite improv games and stuff. Because
I would love that.
Yeah, I think us talking before is us getting warmed up to talk to each other, which is crazy because I feel like you and I can just get on a Zoom call and like talk forever,
which we did when we were planning some of these episodes.
Exactly. But I think especially with our art form, man, I love to plan 5 steps ahead and forget the one right in front of me that's like crucial to doing to getting there, you know. It's like, yeah. Oh, like especially when I'm making music, like I'll plan like, oh, this song, and this song will I'll think of a whole album, and I'm like, but this album's gonna be a series to like 3 more albums. And
you're
like,
really planning it.
I haven't even finished this first album to know what it is first, yeah, you know? Yeah.
But is that because you're just like excited?
Excited.
So that begs the question, are you excited for the process of the whole thing, or are you excited to just start and complete like that thing that you're really
I started and I wish it was done so I could move on to the next.
Wow.
But I do love the process.
Yeah.
But in that moment where I'm just so excited, I'm just like, oh, I can see it. And sometimes the fact that there's so many more steps and so many more things that you have to do and that you don't know how to do causes a lack of motivation. You know, there's a quote in one of my favorite J. Cole songs called Change. And it says, you could dream, but don't forget the execution. And I'm like, it's so true. Cause like I'd be missing
the execution part,
not sticking my landing a lot of the time, you know.
That I mean, yeah, I could talk days on that, just that topic alone. About it's interesting because you having a lot of conversations with you lately, I realized like, oh, it is important to hold on to your ideas.
Yeah.
And or I guess less about holding on to it, but more like nurturing it, which I've always felt is important. But I also did carry this sense of like, ideas are cheap.
They are.
Because I realized too that I come up with a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it feel cheap for me is I have a hard time getting it to the execution part.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why I start to devalue the idea of, or the thought of like ideas. But after listening to you and reading a couple of books, I realized like, oh no, like that is like the important thing to carry to give you the motivation to finish.
Yeah.
Is if you take that one idea and protect it.
Yeah.
Right? And feed it, I guess.
Yeah, feed it.
Feed me, Seymour.
I think that's the best thing. So especially with like when I'm making music or doing skits, I like to be able to look at my idea.
Okay.
You know, that's why I think TikTok was so great for me. Cause like I had these ideas and I was like, what's the simplest way I can show this?
Yeah.
Get the point across.
Yeah,
the quick button on the end of it, like what's the quickest way, and just doing that and be like, ah, that's exactly what I saw in my head. Maybe of course I wanted like special effects and like me to come out the ceiling and like, but just to see your idea, or like when I'm recording music, just to get a scratch track of it and be like, yes, that's what I wanted. It might not be exactly it, yeah. but at least putting it down where I can listen back, be like, well, that was a cool idea.
I've always been impressed by like your output.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And I think now that I listen to you say that, I'm like, well, maybe that's it. You've found a better kiss than I have. Mm. Better, yeah.
Keeping it simple. I mean,
well, yeah.
I think, man, TikTok was crazy for me during that time because I've always wanted to like shoot skits and sketches, and yeah. I know since all the work we do, we come up with great stuff.
Yeah.
All the time, like right. all our work, and I'm blessed to have that.
And I overcomplicate it in my mind because I'm like, oh, I do. Okay, so this is why I don't have a whole like crazy catalog of things. I have stuff now, but that took like 20 years, right? I think it's that. It's like I'll take a simple idea, which I like. I like simple ideas. And then I start layering it. And then my mind doesn't have the systems yet to keep it at its simple level and get it to the end. Like I always feel like I have to add this layer or this layer or this layer. And I don't know where that comes from. You know, when I watch movies, I love peeling back the layers. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's, this is an excuse maybe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I think it's an excuse to say, oh, I need to add these layers because as a viewer, I enjoy peeling the layers back.
Of course. I think you and I'm not just giving advice to you. When I'm giving this gem, mm-hmm. I'm speaking to myself while you're in the room.
No, I love it. I mean, I'm here to learn.
And I think it's, we have to trust that everything that we've gone through mm-hmm. to this point and the skills we've accumulated to this point are going to be the layers there. There's been so many times when I've, I can't believe I'm telling myself right now for this. I've written lines and I put them in songs and somebody's broken down stuff that I didn't even know were there. And I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, totally. I was like,
yeah, do you embrace that or do you go, hey, I'm glad you found meaning
in that? Yeah, exactly. Cause like, you know, sometimes you just want to, you know, create, like feeling, creating is just great. And I think having that, like I was telling you, like, I don't really care about the results too much.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm putting out these skits and stuff like that, and even when I'm doing like social media for the businesses I do social media for, like all I care about is the content. And if it makes mm-hmm. me laugh, I use that approach with,
it's so good.
With everything. Because
like, I guess that's your top kiss.
I want my replay value. Yeah. I want to enjoy my idea.
Wow.
And as selfish as that is as an artist, like if it brings me joy, I hope it brings other people joy.
Wow. Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, I heard a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was a monk when I was listening mm-hmm. to him or watching him on TikTok, and he was saying the formula is your highest desire plus the most time you can do it plus no expectation will get you to your goal and so much more than you can imagine. Mm. That's the equation of getting everything you could want and being a master of your craft.
Wow. Oh, okay. So that, I was like, that equation seems overly complicated. Then you added being a master of your craft. I'm like, okay, that's okay. That warrants the extra plus. Cause I'm oh yes. Because you are also working towards being better at your craft.
Cause I think we all have this, vision of like, you know, whatever it is, like, oh, I want to be a famous movie star. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. what if you never become a famous movie star, but you are a highly respected actor?
Oh,
you know, it's like, I love that. What's the balance? Are you trying to get good at the craft or are you trying to get the accolades? Because you can get the accolades doing so many other things.
Yeah. I guess what's missing ingredient for that? If you're a highly respected actor, let's say in your community, mm-hmm. then it's just time.
Yeah, that's
it. Is the X factor.
That's it.
Because at some point, your colleagues are going to recommend you to someone who's going to recommend you to someone. You know, like, exactly. It's just time then.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it's hard to, in my mind, it's hard to see how someone can be a respected artist. Well, no, this maybe is a fallacy, but like, if you're really good at something, eventually you're going to get some sort of like, I don't know, notoriety, fame, right? Like, but that's not something that you, this is something I heard, I think. Fame is not something you give to yourself. Success is.
Ooh.
Fame is what other people give you.
Ooh.
I don't remember who said that, but it struck a chord in me. I'm like, yeah, you don't give yourself fame unless, I don't know, you're Salt Bae.
Ooh.
Right? Exactly. But like, yeah, other people give that to you.
Even then, I don't think even he gave himself that. I think he was just messing around one day and somebody was like, ooh.
You know? Ooh, I like the way you style that. Yeah. Sultan style.
And they probably put glasses on them. And they're like, this is it, bro.
This is it. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Success is what you give yourself. Fame is what other people give you. That's the simple
I love that.
Version of that.
Yeah, you can always give yourself success. I think, you know, I'm reading a book right now called Destiny is Discipline or Discipline is Destiny, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Ryan Holiday. And, you know, there's a lot of good concepts already in the book about, like, you have the choice to either master yourself or be controlled by something else or something, you know. I truly believe only the disciplined are free.
Mm-hmm. Only the disciplined are free.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know that's ironic.
No, not at all, bro. Not at all. Well, to me, it's not.
Yeah.
It's like having like, oh, if I have a routine, I'm freed most of my free up my brain.
Yeah.
Right? Like the CEO mentality of like, mm-hmm. I only wear one shirt or one type of shirt.
Yep.
Because then that brain capacity for other stuff opens up.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I love that.
And I feel like every single time I make a routine or like I do the things that I want to for myself, like mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time, you know, working on music or working on a script. Like I am my best version of myself to be the best version for other people. You know what I mean?
Man.
So
Dav and I were talking about this before we started recording, and I was sharing with him that this past week has felt like I lacked a lot of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I dislike that feeling because for most of the year, for most of my waking life, I feel motivated. So to feel that thing lacking always feels, I know it's not, it's just my brain playing tricks on me, but it feels like a betrayal. Like, how could you feeling motivated, right? Yeah. But I realize it's that, again, we talked about this briefly, but I want to share it with our listeners. Like, I neutralize my motivation when the sense of what I need to do conflicts with what I want to do. When those two intersect in a negative way, I end up just doing what?
Sleeping.
That's right.
That tantalizing bed.
It's so tantalizing. And it doesn't help that I'm a stress sleeper.
Oh, me too.
Are you?
I sleep through a lot of my problems.
Yeah.
I was talking to our homie Roman about this.
Yeah.
He's like, how do you get through a lot of stuff? I was like, honestly, I sleep. I sleep. I binge watch and I sleep when I like really need to like zonk out and like really step away from
sleep. Wow, you and I are similar in that way. I didn't realize that.
Come on, bro.
Listen, I was watching Stanley Tucci find searching for Italy and sleeping. And with the hope that I'm going to wake up and not that my problems are solved in the real world, but in my mind, it has problem solved itself.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing we were talking about, like being bored. Like cultivates creativity. Mm-hmm. So stepping away from everything kind of gets you back to motivated. Like, I can't just keep doing this.
Yeah.
Me and my girlfriend were talking about how like busy we are sometimes. And she's like, oh, I wish I could do nothing. I'm like, you know, you and I are the type of people who like, we can't do nothing for long.
Yeah. You need a little bit.
You know, we try to plan vacations and I'm like, oh, I just want to chill. And she's like, I want to go ham. But then we find somewhere in the middle of like, we need to sleep. Mm-hmm. We need to slowly get up. We need to slowly get breakfast. We want to go do all these things. But I'm like, what's the rush? You know?
Yeah. We're on vacation.
We're on vacation. But at the same time, we can't not do anything.
That's hard, man. You know? That's hard. I mean, I say that's hard, but that's a subjective thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also another quote in this book. Saying something about like those who aren't disciplined or those who are lazy have the worst time or the hardest time in life. And me and my boys were just talking about, because I'm in the book club, and they were talking about like, how is it hard for those people? Like, what if being lazy is all they know? Like, what if they enjoy that? And I was arguing the point to them that like, I think there's a lot of people in this world who have a lot of ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm one of those people where like going back to the quote you said in the other podcast, like it hurts more for us not to create than it does to like put ourselves out there and do the work for like this stuff and get judged by society. Like,
right.
But I think some people like maybe weren't lucky enough like us to be introduced to art or like pursue art to see the possibility of it. So they're just like, hey, it is what it is. It's not for me, you know, and they can just like let go of that. Meanwhile, me, I'm like, I can be everything.
I gotta have it. Yeah, I gotta do it. Yeah, I try to be compassionate and empathetic to you know, everyone we encounter, regardless of if they're in the arts or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a neighbor who we chatted a bunch, and I learned that he doesn't really like art. And I don't know if it's like, well, sorry, I'm putting words in his mouth, but he had such a indifference to it that it almost offended me. And I was like, oh, I got to slow down before I get too deep into like the philosophy of what art means and stuff, because this person is not going to meet me there, right? He's a very well-meaning person. He actually moved away, but not because I scared him or anything.
I was about to say a lot of things. You set me up for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. But it was interesting in that, like, so going back to our topic of keeping it simple, I'm like, does negating aspects of our interest or potential interest a way to keep life simple, right? Like, if you're not necessarily in the arts world, or you're not an arts practitioner in the way that you and I are, I want to hear back from folks who are like supporters. Sorry. No, as an art supporter, I think you're still engaged in that way. But like, if you're not engaged in the arts, I don't know how you have found this channel / like listen, but I bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here.
I want to know. Or even if you're a listener and you have a family member
who
isn't, I want to know from you, like, what keeps them going? Or like, what's the thing that nurtures them when times are tough?
Artists or people who support arts?
Neither. Like, people who's not in at all absorbed in the art. Oh,
no art.
No art. And no, it's not in their front of their mind at all. Like, what sustains them? And I guess you could say, like,
are you saying
first generation immigrants sometimes, right? Like, would be an example. Like, we couldn't do art. We had to work so we could provide. But, like, there's got to be something that nourished them, right? Like, are TV saying, show or...
Since you're an artist, art nourishes you when you're low?
Yeah.
Good.
I just wanted to make sure
that was like...
I mean, I wouldn't say like, oh, when I feel low, I go to a museum and stare at art. No. I think it's the act of creating.
Yeah. That, like, being inspired by others creating stuff that you want to do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah, when people say... Sorry, this struck a chord with me. When people say, I don't like art, I'm like, what aspect? That's when people like tell me they don't like rap. I'm like... What type of rap?
My first question is, who hurt you?
Yeah, who hurt you? Did your mom make you go see musicals and you're just not a musical person when there's like beautiful plays? Like, don't tell me you don't like movies. Like, what type of movies? Like, I can't say I don't like business. I'm like, everything runs off. I don't like food. What do you mean? What do you eat?
Right, exactly. There's a business for agriculture. Yeah. I was slightly off tangent. I rewatched just the beginning part of Step Brothers.
Great movie.
Because I was in between stuff.
Call me Night Dragon.
No, it's Night Hawk.
Dang.
It's close. Call me Dragon.
And then Night Hawk.
Night Hawk, yeah.
But I was close.
There's a line in there. Oh, no, I forgot what it was.
I got all the lines.
No.
Them, but I got them.
No.
What part?
In the very beginning.
This wedding is horseshit.
I don't know how you know these lines.
Come on. It's one of the most quotable movies.
Oh, it's
like. She had the old bull. She wants the young calf. We used to shit with the door open. We can't do those things. Damn, we've never done those things. What do you want?
I didn't know that. I thought it was just Ace Ventura that you got on lock.
Nope. All comedy movies. Me and a group of my friends, we constantly quote movies and we try to stump each other.
Dang.
And we use like lines.
I was going to say, if you do any Rush Hour, I'll probably get it.
I can't do it now. I'll sneak. Watch this. Yeah. I'm going to sneak a quote, and I'm not going to tell you what movie it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a couple,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is going to be Rush Hour.
You're just going to stare at the. She's just going to stare at the camera?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What is this premise of the, what do you want to say?
I don't know. I don't remember. Art? Where were we? This is why we need a producer.
Maybe Prestige Worldwide? It's not the beginning. That's not the beginning. When they start the boats and hoes.
No. Never mind. Forget it. Maybe it'll come back later. But we're talking about people who don't do art. Yeah. No, that's not what we're talking about.
Step bros.
Keep it simple, step bros.
Keep it simple, step bro.
Okay. Anyway, circling back to this conversation that I let go.
What do you do
yes.
to keep it simple, Tati,
thank you.
For yourself as an artist? When you're like you and I both do, we're like overcomplicating what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a go-to thing where you like remind yourself, or is like,
I think the most effective thing that I've done in the last 10 years is just to write a stupid little list down. I don't want to say stupid. So why am I demeaning my lists?
Well, it comes in the case.
Okay, here you go.
It's stupid.
That's true.
Yeah,
I literally have it here on my desk. Okay, so I'm flashing. For those of you who are listening, not watching, I'm flashing this green book that I have repurposed. It was originally a book to take notes for Dungeons and Dragons, nice, our campaign. But because it's at my desk almost always.
It's empty, y'all. I'm just kidding.
That's me hitting down. It literally just has random to-do stuff. Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I use a little red pen or orange because, well, for some of it. But yeah, to do, right? A date and then just a list. And as I go through it, if I did everything that day, I'll just cross things as I go. And
Tossie was slowly stroking each page.
I was. Did you hear? Hang on.
ASMR.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. But the whole, I laughed because when I first started it, I was like, why am I going to write a list of the things I need to do when I know what I need to do?
No, I write a to-do list. I have to. I have like...
I'm late to the game, bro.
I have 14, not 14, that's an exaggeration. I have like 3 whiteboards in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have
one... Well, if you cut them up... Well.
I have like one in my room, like the biggest one, and it just has like dates.
Okay.
So I don't forget dates.
Nice.
I understand Google Calendar is a thing, but like... There's something about like seeing it and crossing it off physically.
Sam's the same way.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I have like my to-do list, like the most important things. And then I also have a to-do list in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need to know what I'm doing today, or else I'll forget things. And I hate being the one that forgets things.
You forget because you have a lot of information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I want to prioritize what I want to get done,
mm-hmm,
you know, so I can feel better and show up for myself the best way possible.
I got to get on that.
Feeling better.
Feeling better. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Anyway, a topic for a different podcast. Yeah. But yeah, I get down on myself when I know I need to do something and I'm not doing it. And I just want to spend time doing the thing that makes me feel
good.
Good.
Yeah, I think
it's a mind thing.
Yeah. You and I have talked about self-sabotage. Maybe that's a whole episode. We just need to dive a lot deeper into that, because I'm right there with you, bro.
Yeah,
it's hard because a lot of the times I think of people who enjoy our art, and mm-hmm, like there's so many people who are having, especially like, because I make music, I don't know the reaction that people are having to my music. Like I can't be there for everyone's first experience, for their like workout where they're listening to my song and like I'm helping them through it.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is like low stats on my end. I'm like, why do I even do this? Like,
yeah,
my song sucks. When maybe somebody's having the best time of their life to my music.
Yeah.
And who am I to not serve other people? I'm being selfish by not creating more, you know?
Because
people could have, their first kiss to my song in the background. They could have like a wedding, like to something that I'm doing, or like your play, you know, a play you write, a play you're in might change everyone's perspective.
I mean, I listen to your music.
Thanks. I got the light.
Thanks.
You just posted on your story.
Yeah, I love. So this is that thing of like, how do you show up for your friends kind of stuff. And like when I look for music to just add in the background, if it's not necessarily like a thematic one, like for example, when I posted the World War II photos from this event I went to, obviously I want to find music that's like 1945, right?
Right.
That makes sense. But other than that, if it's like, just like a generalized, like, I need some good music too, I'd look for your stuff first.
Oh, man.
I guess I'm like, what here makes sense too? Like, if it's anything digital, you have that virtual.
Yeah,
right? And then, obviously if it's a feel-good stuff, then yeah.
I got a lot more
lighthearted.
Yeah. And I think that's also a beautiful topic to explore in a second, of like simple ways to support other people. Like, it really doesn't have
be
so hard to support people. It's like little things like that where like you put my music on like a post that means a lot. Sharing,
what's
liking,
what's that like, meme that went around for a while? It's like why haven't you blown up yet? And it's like,
because you haven't shared my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
It's so funny. Like,
oh, that's kind of true in some way.
In some ways. I don't think people, we shouldn't rely on, people sharing. It is dope, though, when you see people sharing your stuff.
This is going back to what we said earlier. Like, fame is not what you give yourself.
It's what other people give you.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think something for me that's super helped in drama class that made me make stronger choices and trust my instincts and keep it simple was, I don't know if you ever had this experience, but there was like a time in drama class when you would have to like, you know, everyone close your eyes and reach to the sky and like, oh, everyone stretch. And like, they tell you to do things while your eyes are closed.
Right.
But there's an element of like doing something new and being scared that other people aren't doing it as well. So you like peek, open your eyes, make sure other people are doing it too, you know? Or like they'd be like, all right, everyone's going to walk around the room and I'm going to say animals and we're going to be an animal, right. You know? And I've always noticed that it's the person who doesn't commit fully who looks the most foolish. Than the person who fully commits and like they say, hey, we're gonna be giraffes, and somebody's like figuring out a way to like
be the giraffe,
and it looks ridiculous, but you're like, no, that's a giraffe.
Yeah,
like I totally believe I'm in. You. I'm in.
Yeah,
and it's that whole like,
and you kind of admire that too.
You do. You do. It's like they really were just like, I'm gonna be the best giraffe I can be. Period.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like, well, I don't have a long neck, so I can't do that. You know, you don't overcomplicate. What you're trying to do, the objective is keeping to be a giraffe. Simple.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be a giraffe.
Wow, that's true.
You know,
keep it. I mean, obviously, going back to what we're saying, keeping it simple, and the simplicity of that is, I'm just going to be it.
It,
whatever it is, right? Without the questioning of like, well, how am I going to do that? If this, I guess the. That's such a deeper topic too, because that's the sense of like commitment to self and commitment story.
Yeah.
Right? Because the deeper your commitment, the more other people get invested with you.
Yeah.
Right? Wow.
That reminds me of that that thing you said the other day when we were planning about like watching an interesting actor or somebody act interesting.
What
was the quote?
I think it was like... I feel like I just made that up, didn't I?
Just made that up, that was a bar that you better bless these people with.
I think I made it up based on things that I've observed other people talking about, which is, I think it's more fascinating to watch an interesting person act than it is to watch a person act interesting.
Y'all hear that? Can you say that one more time?
I think it's more fascinating to watch an interesting person act than it is to watch a person act interesting. And I've thought about that a lot, because it's that sense of like, if you are genuinely just an interesting person, and that's subjective, right? Well, I guess for my mind, what that means is like someone who's well-read, or not even well-read, but like well-rounded reader. You know, you read comic books, you read pamphlets, you read like boring, you know, bank statements kind of thing.
Things on the street.
Things on the street, yeah. That all gets cataloged in someone's mind. So when they act or they bring that to their stage or whatever art they're doing, that's going to show up in some way. But it's going to show up not in the way that they're not replicating it.
Yeah.
It's like collaged into some other thing.
Yeah.
Which makes it fascinating, because you would never have thought to alchemize it in that way.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's that, you know, whereas someone who's just pretending or trying to act interesting is trying to put together things that they may not have in their catalog, which is one extra step to getting to the result. And for an audience member, that's more boring, because you're not there with them in that journey.
Yeah.
Right? So... I guess that's what I mean by that. Like,
I love that so much. I remember when I was in college, I had a teacher tell me, like, the more things you do, the more you'll have in your utility belt as an actor. And I totally believe that. Like, you need to live life to understand these things and be like, oh, I've been there. But, like, I was always thinking, like, because I've had friends who've told me in this, all good-mannered, I understand what you were saying, but, like, hey, Dov, if you just focus on acting, you'll probably blow up. If you just focus on music, you'll blow up. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I want to do both. And like, I can do both. I'm not trying to do 18 things.
Yeah.
Maybe now I am. But like, but like, those are the two things. Keep it simple. Those are, exactly. Keep it simple. But like, I know I want to, like, in the whole scope, I just want to entertain people, make people feel good.
Yeah.
I know the
that's base. The overall
but energy. It's like, what are the skills in that? I want to do music. I want to perform live. Yeah. Ultimately, I want to do it live. I want to create movies that I enjoy watching. Mm-hmm, I want to create that in your heart. You know, I want that. I want to support myself financially doing the stuff I love, you know? But I just also think about that, like, during the pandemic, since I invested all this time and equipment into music,
right?
If I only spent time doing acting stuff, I wouldn't have had the beautiful transition into voiceover acting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just kept it simple and like, yo, I'm invested in music. Like, it's not lucrative at all. I think I make $25 a year off streaming.
Right.
But like, I'm learning skills and I'm having fun with it. I'm making time with my friends.
Right.
And this opportunity where the world shuts down and I'm able to make money off my investment earlier and I have the skills and, oh, I get to merge both and like be successful in both.
But I think that also goes back to one of the topics that we had covered at some point, which is like getting out of your own way.
Facts.
I mean,
because kind of in this as well.
Yeah. Cause if you were like, oh, I'm making dividends on this other thing that I didn't initially get into. If you got in your own way, you'd be like, well, let me go back into the thing I was trying to do. You would just kind of like, you know, cauterize that other part that you don't know, you haven't fully explored yet.
Yeah. It's, man, you just triggered something that Gary Vee always says of like, this is why I really like TikTok, man. I could talk about social media all day. But when you go to social media, especially when like there's not that many people on there and you're like treating it like it's a new school, like I like to say, or you're just on social media and you're trying different things, like forget how people see you. You know, don't put yourself in a box, but just try everything. You know, like maybe Tossie wants to do a cooking video because if you guys didn't know, Tossie's an amazing cook. maybe he wants to do a gaming video.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to do his photography. You're trying any and everything. And people will show you what they like.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to keep it simple and be like, oh, let me double down on what they want to see.
Yeah.
It's already in the scope of interest that you want to do. It's just this one in particular, people like actually want. Because that's happened to me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I took this marketing class and this guy was asking me, he was like, oh, so you do music? He's like, I don't know anything about music, but I can tell you about branding. And he was like, have you ever had a video go viral? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I had this relationship about this relationship video, like a verse I put out about a girl who like played me. And he was like, well, what happened? I was like, oh, got reposted on a rap page and I woke up to like 6,000 followers. And he's like, what? He's like, what'd you do after that? I was like, oh, I released another song. He was like, what was it about? I was like,
it's not about that.
It was not about that. And he was like, you missed an opportunity of being the relationship rapper guy. And I think like a lot of us are just like,
man,
don't want to be in a box. But then you relate to so many people through relationships.
Yeah.
And then from there, you could surprise people after, you know? And then he asked also, do you have any other songs like blow up? I was like, oh, a Dragon Ball Z song blew up. And he was like, did you make any other anime songs after that? I was like,
Hyperbolic Time Chamber.
You know, I was like,
you could have been
the anime rapper. The
anime rapper.
Before it was like even popular, you know. I was just like, it's just those little like simple things. People are showing you what they like. Give them.
I guess that is the beauty of social media, is that the media, I don't know why, air quotes here, the media doesn't get to dictate what you like anymore. You get to decide like, oh, this is the niche that I like. Oh, wow, someone's actually making, you know, this content, that's cool. And then you realize, oh, way more people are into it than, you don't feel alone. Wow.
Yeah. I think that's also the beauty of the ignorance that we go into some of these places.
Yeah.
And I think me and you were talking about this over the Zoom call of like, there's so many people who just want to start being a streamer, start gaming, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't have these like, these rules that have been like chiseled and like, oh, you don't do that.
Right.
But then some of them get this crazy success, be like, What did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
You just walked into the casting director and just had coffee with them? Wait, you just walked into the agent's office and just
You don't
said,
do that.
You don't do that. But Sometimes it's really that simple. We're just scared because of what we've been heard, what we've heard, or like, yeah, what we're like, oh.
I mean, okay, so the thing that they don't talk about is you still also have to have the talent.
True.
You know what I mean? Like you
persistence need, for sure, but you do need the talent.
There's a lot of things that go into this pot, but sometimes folks don't know that it's in the pot.
Yeah. Can I smell that pot? Man, there's a lot.
That's good. Yeah. That's so funny. You went lateral with that because I was like, cauldron is what I. That's hilarious.
I do.
But it's true though. Like, you don't know what you don't know, but how do you make that a strength as opposed to how do you keep it from being an excuse?
I think fail often and also be the one to dictate those rules rather than other people in the industry tell you.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. Be like, well, I'm going to find out for myself. And if it like quote unquote blacklists me, then it does. But like, yeah, like go do the things you want to. How do I get an agent? Maybe you got to pull up on an agent. Maybe, you know, respectfully, obviously.
I mean, I used to, when I first moved here to San Jose, I used to hang out at one of the Barnes and Nobles, Stevens Creek. And I used to put my business card in all the directing books.
I mean, like that.
Nobody ever called me.
But it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. It's when I look back at it now, one, I was like, oh, I was desperate. And I don't know if you could smell desperation off of a business card, but
I don't smell it off you now.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. But I think it's that like I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know how to break into this world. And, you know, Facebook wasn't really a thing where you can kind of ask those questions yet, nor did I have the network for it anyway. Yeah. So I was like, I'll just put a business card in here. And if I get a call, then I got to, you know, figure that out.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, would I do it now? I mean, as a joke, maybe. And
yeah,
I think I would change my business card. But
there's so much beauty in that. Like, I might get a random call from like an inspiring director or like a big director being like, hey.
And your working relationship starts from there.
Did you have a website on there at the time?
Like, no.
Oh, because I was about to say, you might just had some random hits on your website from those, you know?
I mean, I think I had my Facebook page and an email address. Okay. That was it. I didn't put my phone number on there. But
smart man.
Yeah, but I didn't have a reel. I had a headshot on there though.
That's cool.
Yeah. I had a photo of myself. So at least they knew what they were getting into. So maybe that's why I never got a call.
I love that so much. Yeah, because I think that's where a lot of, you know, this whole era, I mean, people have been doing it forever of like creating your own work. Like, man, no one's hiring me for these movies. Guess I got to make my own movie, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
I mean, I'm getting to that point where I just want to make stuff. Like, I want to get to that production side of things, but I overcomplicate the process.
You know, I think you and I for this podcast overcomplicated it for a long time, but hey, we're here.
We did, huh?
And it's not and it's not as difficult as I think.
Yeah.
It is. And I think a great way for people to like leave off this is like just start.
Yeah.
Just start. Stop.
You know what? Maybe it should be keep it simple. It shouldn't be keep it simple, stupid. It should be keep it simple, comma, start.
I like that. Keep it simple.
Start. Yeah.
That's it. Because you'll learn as you go. I've thrown myself into a lot of things and be like, it's like sink or swim.
I got to put that on a shirt, man.
What?
It's like the first line is keep it simple, stupid, right? Kiss. And then like a scratch mark.
Yeah.
And then keep it simple, comma, start.
That's it. Because you learn. You learn along the way. You have to.
Yeah.
I think it's that survival mechanism that we like.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good thing of like not trying to look stupid, but like you're probably going to look stupid in the beginning doing anything when you start. But then the more you're consistent, the more you're like, oh, I got this.
Yeah. But that goes back to what we were saying earlier, where it's like, if I don't do it, it hurts more. Right. So like survive. I want to survive the world. So I have to create.
Yeah.
That's your survival mechanism, is to bring joy to others or to create.
I love it.
Love it too. Oh, go out there, guys.
Go out there. Go start something. Whatever you're doing, like move the needle forward a little bit today or make a huge leap. Just start. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And also, you can ask for resources always. I don't know if we're a part of anything you're interested that you want to do, but please comment below, link, DM us, email us, talk to us, talk to your friends, talk to people you know. Go start something today.
Woo!
This has been Art Time Job. I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
We still haven't figured this one out. And I'm Tossi Alabastro.
Yes, you are.
You can find me on social media at Tossi Alabastro. And this has been
Art Time Job. Reminding you to make time for your art. And today especially start. Bye. Bye. I was going to hold that as long as you held it.